pretty passionate about reading the Gospels, and she was just talking about a story of Jesus crossing over the lake in the boat, and when the storm came, and she put it in the context of the story that went before and the story that went afterwards, and just encouraged us to look at the big picture. And she unpacked some most amazing revelations that were just like, oh, how have I never seen that? and in the process, she just said a line, and she was talking about one thing, how Jesus was disruptive to the norms and the culture and the thinking of the time, and around Mary and the, Jesus' mother and brothers wanting to see him. And he just said, those who follow me and love me and do what I say are my mothers and my brothers. And just the shock of that, and what did that really mean, and disrupted what we think is our rightful connections to things. So out of that, she just mentioned this word, how Jesus said that you have heard it said, or you have heard it spoken, but I say. And when she said that, I was like, I heard God audibly saying it to me. And my first thought was like, God, for some reason, I just went kind of 30 years of just things spoken. Good things, good preaching, good teaching. 30 years of it just kind of whisked past in my brain. And the first thing that I came across in my thinking was just, crazily, was like all the parenting programs that I had been to as a young, like for Dave and I as young parents, and we weren't that young, but you know, with our little children, and just how there was this curious kind of thinking at the time of combining what God says and tying it into how you should parent so strongly that to not do things a certain way brought a lot of shame and guilt and just, yeah, like feeling like we were failing. And that was the first thought that came to my mind, and I was just like, whoa. And I realised I probably still carry some of that, just that belief around things that I didn't, that were no longer a new thing today. And so I've been pondering on those words, and overnight I was just, they were in my head, and this morning I just thought, what was Jesus really saying there? And I just did a little look, and he wasn't talking about the law, saying the law was no longer valid or no longer right. He was talking about what was spoken about it, the people who tried to understand it and spoke about it. He was saying that you've heard it, you've heard things that have been said, but this is what I say. And I feel like it's such a word for us. I feel like we've heard, for those especially who have been in the faith for a long time, for years, we've heard many things spoken and many things said, and they're good things. You know, they're full of good principles and hearing from God and doing the right thing. But I just feel like we're entering a season of hearing a new thing. And there's something new. There's something new to be heard. And part of maybe hearing something new is letting some old things go in the process. And part of, I was just sharing with Cindy yesterday that just maybe a little bit of David and I's journey into the world of understanding a little more around Te Ao Māori and just what it is to be part of a bicultural journey. And what does that look like in our Christianity? What does it look like to be a follower of Christ and embrace that? And I just said to her, you know, I'm so thankful that, for, you know, we could have easily missed this moment. And it's like hearing a new message, a new sound. And it's curious because it's an old message, but it had a new sound for us. It was like we'd never heard it before, and it went deep into our hearts. And I can't even express to you what it's done, but we know for both of us it shifted something. We've repositioned ourselves, and the outworking of it might look like learning Te Reo or to understand things, but it begins with an internal shift, an internal bracing. And so my encouragement is to you that just to consider what you've heard in the past, but just there's a new thing. There's a new thing to be spoken. And Jesus says, but this is what I say. And so just enlarge your hearts. Unblock your ears, because they get full of all the information we've always had and heard in the past. And just, reposition yourselves to hear something new. So with that, it's my great joy and aloha, my great love to welcome both Cindy Lokili and Erin Luka to come today. They're going to share with us. And you know, I look at Cindy, and we've journeyed for a long, long time. I was in awe of you then, and I am now. But the thing is, for those that are a bit older and who have been journeying with God for a long time, there is such joy in seeing people who are still here with us. You know, it gives us hope and encouragement and builds us up, and I'm really thankful for that. So, welcome.
Oh, a tēnā rā tātou katoa. I mihi nui, he mihi nui nui. Ki a koutou, a tēnā koe pā, tēnā koe e te ware. I mihi nui ki a koutou. Ko Cindy, ruakere taku ingoa no Taranaki ahau, finally. It's so good to be here. I feel such a privilege, as always, to speak into this house that raised me, that brought me up, that showed me the ways of Christ, that discipled me, trained me, gave me great confidence and love and hope through Jesus, that awakened my destiny and calling. And I just want to say I acknowledge this house and the people and the leadership that were a part of, such an integral part of me and my life. And I want to acknowledge you today, Kim and Sue. And I just I want to acknowledge this house, the place of the prophetic that's been always been such a strong point. And the message I'm going to share today, to speak deeply into that prophetic calling, as I believe we are moving into a new season, a new phase, and what that looks like. So I take it as a real privilege. It's the first time I've actually come to speak as a person of the house. I've come in and out. I've been away for 22 years, and the call home, a thing that I never thought would ever happen, and the Lord has called me home. So this is my first place speaking from my Tūranga Waiwai, Tūranga Waiwai Tūturu. I just want to say ngā mihi ki a koutou. Reveal your cross, ever illuminated, let it shine in the darkest night. I see it there, so fix my gaze upon it. In life and death, I find my rest in thee. For God, you're my Tori pekakio, te aho mai, raroto I te pō. Hei ko nā au, titiro atu ai, ora mate. Kia ora. Can we just leave that up there, please? Ngā mihi. I wanted to finish with that waiata as my waiata tautoko, which is the song that you sing after you had your mihi or you've spoken. And I wanted to put that put the song up as a example of what I think we often get trapped in. So whenever you hear, so for those that don't know the reo, and even for those that do know the reo, as soon as you hear whakaria mai tauripi kākio, because it's in the tune of then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee, we immediately equate the words to the tune. And I'm just going to move this over here. I'm just going to come a little bit closer because I feel a bit lonely up here. And I just felt this was a good example of what often can happen, that we can hear something and immediately go back to a default without realising what's hidden in plain sight, if you can just see it for what it is. So, of course, whakaria mai tō ripika ki au te aho mai raroto e te pō means show your cross to me. Let it shine there in the darkness. Hei kona au te tiro atu ai o rā mate e au koe no o ai. To there I will be looking, and life and death let me rest in thee. And I had this thought a couple of years ago, or maybe 3 years ago now, that I wanted to write some English kupu to it to try and help people understand this is what the song is actually means. So I was with Erin one night, we were out at Piha, and we sort of stumbled around just trying to figure out some words. And I said we wrote a verse, and she said, oh, it's more like just translating it into more of a modern understanding, which is what it is. And I sang it, you know, a couple of places around over those 3 years. Then I was asked to sing at the dawn service this year. And I woke up, the bishop, Bishop Kitor, had messaged me and said, you know, would you sing? You can sing anything you want. I woke up the next morning and I knew that I was to sing the song. And I got up there that morning in front of the, you know, Prime Minister and the Cabinet and the different ones and all these leaders of the nation, and I stood up and I began to sing, in the darkness, reveal your cross, ever illuminated, let it shine in the darkest night. And what I was doing, I was putting back into its rightful place the mana of the reo, the mana of those words and what they mean. And I believe that we're right at the threshold right now of transitioning into a new place, but it doesn't look like what it seems. And that often that which is hidden in plain sight is not seen until there's a little prodding to help us to be able to see. And because when we see, we go, oh my gosh. And so people, you know, who are thinking that God is not active outside of us because we're the most important thing to the movement of what God is wanting to do in the world. So when it's outside of us, we actually find it difficult to see, oh, what is God doing? He's not doing anything. So that song was sung at the commemoration or the memorial of the terrorist attacks that happened. What was that? 3 years ago, coming up 3 years this year. And the way that this song got sung in front of thousands of Muslims was that the two people who sang it, one was Teeks and one was Holly Smith, that they'd just recorded that song on an album. I don't know if you've heard it, it's like Hymns, which Murray Tom had on his heart to do for years and years, to get all the latest artists to sing these hymns. All the money was donated to Salvation Army, I think. So these two well-known artists in Aotearoa sang Whakaria Mai. Straight after the mass shooting, then they're looking at doing a memorial, Jacinda Ardern's partner, Clark Gayford, who used to go out with Holly Smith, heard her singing the song, starts crying, takes it to his partner, Jacinda, and says, listen to this. And then she said, that's the song that needs to be sung at the memorial. Are you tracking with me here? So come to the day of the memorial, and these two people stand up in front of thousands of Muslims and, you know, streamed all around the world. Reveal your cross, ever illuminated. Let it shine in the darkest night. And we think that it can only be true in Christian if it's in English. Well, I tell you, the demons know they're real. They just don't understand English. Even though they didn't fully understand what they were doing either, God was using them and positioned them to sing out a song that was declaring who Christ was and the power of the cross. And we're going to see more and more in these coming days the reclamation in the church of the authority and power of the cross. We're going to hear about it more, but we're not only going to hear about it in the church, we're going to hear outside of the church. And we've got to change the way that we think that because it's sung in the real, it is not as effective. But see, God is doing something in Te Ao Māori that if we can understand and give ourselves to and embrace, that God will give us the privilege of stepping into a whole new season of what he's doing. One of the things that he spoke to me several months ago was that that we are now in the season of te ruru, the ruru, the owl, the moorpork. That God was giving us the ability to see like the moorpork, to be able to see in the darkness. And what is that darkness? It's a darkness of misinformation, disinformation. It's a darkness where you can't tell a truth from a lie anymore because there's so much social media, and yes, we know that there's the manipulations of the media that's currently going on. I mean, I shared it yesterday. I just said it's abhorrent the way that media keep going after Brian and Hannah Tamaki, and that whatever we may think of them or not think of them, they are a brother and our sister because they are in Christ. And whatever way that they want to do with their money, and that they're not forcing people with a shotgun to give money. People are doing it out of their own choice, and yet somehow the media has been going after them. So I know that the media is biased against believers. But we also have to position ourselves to be able to see beyond what is being said, again, hidden in plain sight. So this idea of the ruru that just came to me, that God is giving us the ability to be able to see in the dark, to be able to tell a truth from a lie. Because there's so much information, even coming out of the mouths of Christians at the moment, coming out of the mouths of prophets who are hearing God, and yet by all accounts God is schizophrenic because he's saying complete opposite of what he appears to be saying over there. He's saying the exact opposite thing. So we have to be people who are able to hear what God is saying, to be able to see what God is doing. So the whole sense of the ruru came to me. He said, I'm giving you eyes to be able to see in the dark. Interesting thing about the ruru, the moorpork, is that they fly silently, the way that their wings are designed, that they can go in without being heard. That's for the ability to be able to go in and, you know, snatch the prey. But I felt like that was God was saying that he's enabling us in this dark place to be able to go in and see what the plans of the enemy without being seen, and to be able to pray into them or share them or speak them at appropriate times. The second thing that I found was very important was that I feel like I'm talking really fast, but I've got a lot to say in a short amount of time. was that the eyes of the owl are fixed, so that they don't move in sockets like ours can. We can sort of turn them this way or that way. Their eyes are fixed in their head, so that's why they have to move their head. And sometimes people think that their heads are turning right the way around because they're moving so fast. And to me, that was a prophetic picture. I felt the Lord was saying to me that in the past, the prophets have been seeing what they think they need to see, which has been okay back then. But this time, the head, who represents the head in Scripture? Of course, it's Jesus. So this time, it's the head that's going to move the eyes of the prophets to be able to see what he wants them to see, not what they think they need to see. So the head is now moving our eyes to be able to see what needs to see. We are in a crucial moment in time. That's right. Yeah. That was a nice little finish. Thank you. Little Selah there. Kia ora. So can you put up the picture of the first ruru, please, the first one? So I felt like this was a great picture for us. So it's not a moor pork. It's not the ruru from here, but it's a I think it's a barn owl. And this picture of being able to see into dark places. Can you give me the next picture? Thank you. This is what God is giving us the ability to do. Can you see me still there? All he's done is he's turned his head. But going into these hidden places, you know, he said that he'd show us these things that cannot be seen. But we have to be at a place that we are prepared to step into situations to see and have a change of heart and a change of understanding, change of the way that we think things should be, and to be like that ruru, to see what is hidden in plain sight. You wouldn't be, if you walked past that, you wouldn't even know that was there. Even the first one, you wouldn't know that it's there. This, I believe, is a season that we're now in and the opportunity that God is giving. And it is an opportunity. And like any opportunity, they come and they go. We are in a moment and an opportunity that God is giving us the ability to be able to see into what cannot be seen at the moment. So the season of the ruru. Can we put, let's leave that the first one up. Yeah, that can be my backdrop. Kia ora. So what seems like is God might possibly not be God. And what possibly is not God might be God. You know, some of you older ones, so I say those of grey hair, but I'm still quite young. It's fashionable to have grey hair these days. But you know, like that I honour and I acknowledge this wari. This church that began out of the heart for the prophetic, which to me is hearing God or seeing God and communicating what you see or hear. And so my question then is, where are we now as we're moving into what might seem like God but isn't God, and what might not seem like God is God? So right back to the 70s and the 80s when God was moving, it didn't seem like God. And unfortunately, every move of God that's risen up has always been resisted by the previous move of God. And it's a history that surely we have the capacity and the maturity to resist. Otherwise, do we have to go round that roundabout again? Someone talked about a roundabout on the weekend. This is an opportunity for us to duck right. Rather than going right around the roundabout, let's just take a little quick right. We've got an opportunity stands before us. And I believe that what we're seeing unfolding possibly doesn't look like God, but I believe it is. Because it doesn't look the way that we expected it. It's not a better version of an older model. It's not like the I was going to say Holden, but you know, Holden, you know, kia ora, ka kite e te Holden. It's not like a newer version of the Corolla. I'll just say Corolla since I've got a Corolla. This is something that's new. It's a new design. It's been formulated in the heart of God. It's got a whole new system, inside and outside. And it's not going to look like what we think. So we need to position ourselves and free ourselves of the old. I shared in the weekend about taking off our old cloak or our old coat and putting on that which is new. But we get familiar with what we like to wear. But Jesus never called us to be in the place of being comfortable. And that wasn't my intention to get up and sing this morning, but you know what? This is, I'm talking, I've been of the faith for 35 years now, this year, And I was a shy little Māori girl who didn't think she was anybody, didn't have a lot of hope or faith or belief, particularly belief in herself. And God put her in a community that could believe when she couldn't believe. They believed for her for what she couldn't see in herself and believe for herself. And I remember that, and I knew it was right this morning for me to get up and sing that song, because that was, I think, the one of the first ever prophetic songs that I got up and sang was out of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10. 30, so that would have been 34 years ago. That same scripture I got up and sang, and I was so scared. It took me 2 weeks. We were up at the War Memorial Hall. I was sitting there, and I felt it, that I want you to sing the song. And it's like, no. This conversation starts away, no, I can't do it. Yes, no, yes, no. And, heart beating. And I didn't do it that Sunday, and I was so upset and disappointed with myself. And then, the week goes on, you sort of forget, and I'm back there the next Sunday, same song. Okay, let's do this again. And I remember, it felt like the long walk of shame, because I was at the back of the hall walking up to the microphone. It's just like, are they going to stop me? Will somebody stop me from doing it? Is someone else going to get up there before me and I'm going to stand there looking like a something? And I got up and I sang that song, and it was so funny that it came back to me again today, my time back now, 22 years later, singing that same piece of scripture. Singing it out, rise up. The winter is got. Now, how did I sing it? The winter. No, it's my song. It's my song that I'm singing. It was a song I was singing. It's something that rhymes with a pear. The winter. Yeah, deer. Anyway, it felt beautiful to sing into that space again, 35 years later. It's like, wow, amazing. So that gave me great courage, because it was singing about, okay, it's time for us to rise up again. And I even think about that was pre-rise up even, and that was a little move that took place, a little move of God. And, that was a big shift and a change in the church. And I got up and sang that song this morning because I know we're there again. We're at the changing of the seasons. Winter has passed. The springtime is here. The flowers appear. The birds are singing their song. So, and I know that I'm saying this out of context of the whole chapter, but it just felt so appropriate for me to share this, which is Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And it has felt like a wilderness. The church has been in a wilderness. We've been in a wasteland. We've looked for this thing for salvation, for that thing. But it's always led to disappointment, and we're still in the wilderness. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And like we shared on the weekend, the whole purpose for this is not about us. We get to have the overflow, but the whole purpose is out there. The whole purpose is out there. Like the Ruru, we have to be able to see the new way. And that God would give us the courage and the grace and the mana that we need to be able to stand and go towards the new way. And to take off an old cloak, choosing in that place of transition to maybe feel naked and vulnerable, but choosing to walk there anyway. Because you won't get there any other way. Because this is still an upside down kingdom. This is still a kingdom that looks less like the triumphalism and the victory and the glory. But truly, Jesus is there amongst the least and the most vulnerable. And so if we choose to become that, the most vulnerable, we choose to take off our old cloak, surely he'll be there with us. as we transition into a new season. So this, I asked them not to do live today because I felt that this was a message for this house specifically. And I say this, I want to validate Chris and Beth, but I want to say this for all who, even in the place of not truly understanding why you're going on the Te Ao Māori journey, I just want to validate you all today. Because I want to say that I believe as a prophetic person, as a person that has traveled up and down this nation, has given her whole life to search out to see what God might be saying so that I'm not only I can position myself, that I might position the church so that she might be ready for that which perhaps God might want to do in our own nation. And I want to say to you today, I believe that this is the marks of the move of God. That as we are shifting in to this understanding of what God is doing in Te Ao Māori, as I shared about whakaaria mai, this is happening on a grand scale in Te Ao Māori, in the Māori world. God is moving in significant ways. Does it look like what you think it should look like? Are all these people coming to Jesus and starting coming to church? Well, no, they're not, I'm sorry. But there are gatherings that are starting to happen. During lockdown, there was a group, a family that I'm very, very close to, the Carmorgan family, Carmorgan Whānau, that during lockdown, they decided to start up a little gathering called, I'll be done by 11:30. So, okay, no, I just want for myself. So someone tell me it's 11:30, because I want to make plenty of room for you. They started up this little karaki and waiata evening, half an hour, online. And the person who set them up and put them on different Māori platforms was a person called Te Whenua Harawira. And she's the daughter of Hone Harawira. Now, when I say Hone Harawira, you immediately think, oh, activist, oh, that's that guy. So they met Te Whenua at Ihu Matau, where they were having the protests for the land that had been illegally taken and then was being used for redevelopment of a big suburb, which they were saying, well, this is not right. So that there was that protecting Ihu Matau. So this whānau felt that they were to go, they were asked by the leader, Pānea Newton, to go and to offer karakia, because she said, we need to have whakamoimiti, we need to have praise happening in this space because it has the potential to get really out of hand. So they went and they held that place and they kept it tow. The presence of Wairua Tapu settled over Ihu Matau. And we are convinced that because that they set themselves there, every night they were going and holding the place of karakia and waiata, that they held that thing from getting out of hand and getting disruptive. Because I don't know if you saw on the news, all those police would turn up and it was all pretty crazy. That whakamoimiti kept it at a place of kept it settled. This is God, people. You might not have been involved in it, but God was moving in that environment. So they connected with Te Whenua Harawira, because she was there, of course, being the daughter of an activist. And they connected with her, and they've started talking to her. And so they talked about going online with lockdown. So she organised it for them to go on all these Māori platforms. She just let them know the other day that since that's been happening, they've had 3 million hits and 1 million engagements. Because this half an hour every Sunday night is prayer and worship from in a Māori context, and people can put up their prayers and then they pray for them. So this is a significant thing that's happening. You don't know about it, so that means that God can't be moving, right? So God is moving significantly in this arena, in Te Ao Māori. So how do we position ourselves into this? I was thinking, as I've been walking, it's been interesting as I've come home, like home, how memories have just started like flooding back, which never happened when I was just here visiting or coming to see my whānau or you know, coming here to speak or whatever. And I remembered a prophetic word that Mal Maloney had. So we're talking like the early 90s. And it was a little campsite out at Wairia. You probably remember that we were out there. And he had a prophetic word. He saw the mountain and fire coming down from the mountain and going around all the different areas of the Maunga. I started thinking about that prophetic word. And in our limited understanding, you know, I'm talking about myself as well, we were thinking it was going to come through this grid of us or people like us. And I started thinking about that prophetic word. Out at Wairia, which is right next to Pariaka, and I was thinking, that word, this fire coming out from the Maunga and starting these fires around the Maunga. I was thinking about Pariaka and the deep presence of Wairua Tapu that's immersed in that whenua. If any of you have been out there, you will know that. And the way that it was created through a longing based through Scripture to see the fulfillment of that which is righteous being outworked and outplayed. I was thinking about Ratana, just to the other side of the Maunga, and all the prophecies that came from him. And I suddenly started thinking, it's like, that's that hidden in plain sight. This prophetic word that I believe we are now beginning to enter into the fulfillment of that prophetic word. Mal, who is now stands before the face of Jesus, God bless him, faithful, faithful man. And that we are the beginnings of seeing that word fulfilled, but it hasn't come the way that we expected it to. And even it didn't come as quickly as what we were thinking. And so disappointment has flooded us, because again and again, as a prophetic church, we prophesy and prophesy and prophesy and prophesy and prophesy, and then we don't see it happen after year 5, after year 10, after year 20, after year 30. And what does it do? What does it say about disappointment? And I'll speak to you today as a prophetic person, as speaking into that place, that rise up, my love, my fair one. For lo, the winter has passed, the rain is over and gone. That as we crossing over into a new season. But this season has to do with Te Ao Māori. And that's why I wanted to honour you, because I know it's felt out of kilter, because it's like, well, there's not many Māori in your church, so why are you doing that? Why are you trying to wrestle with the reo? Why are you trying to do that? Because you are setting up for what God is wanting to do. And even the way that you are looking at shifting the way that you do even your services, including more of the body, to me that looks very much like a marae. Who's the one that holds the most mana? It's the one, the ringawera, out of the kitchen, because they're the ones that that hold the mana of the marae, because they showcase manaaki, manaakitanga. That's where the mana of the people lies, and how you can give and serve those that come to you. And so this big shift that's happening, and it doesn't make sense, because it's like, well, you know, like we think back to the way it used to be, and, you know, the big band, and, you know, the great powerful speaker, and, you know, all these great things which were good, and they still are good. But they have a place, this new thing is beginning to emerge. And it's like this beautiful little sprout that's bursting through, that we've got to nurture this. And so I want to say to you, so for some of you that have been unsure about, just like, what, why are we doing this? I want to validate, not just Chris and Beth, but I want to validate this church, because like I said at the beginning, this was birthed in the prophetic. This is the prophetic. This is prophecy moving forward. This house that awakened so many of us in the area of hearing God, seeing God, communicating what you see and hear. This is that, if you can see it for what it is. And I know it's awkward and it's stumbling and it's, we don't get it right all the time, but we keep moving forward, because weren't we like that at the beginning ourselves? not just as when we first come to faith, but even at the beginnings of this church, you know, the things we got right, the things we got wrong, like some of my highlights was like, you know, the camp where everybody thinks, well, camp, you go away. Well, we decided to have a 3-day camp in-house, which was prayer and fasting. Yeah. And, you know, the powerful thing, my worship and what I was able to give away to the world came out of this place. I was nurtured. That thing was nurtured inside of me. It never would have been released without me being here. So not only is there a great legacy, but there's that which is to come again. And if I can say to you, and I can even put myself aside as being Māori, you know, like my deep sense of wakapapa. But I want to say to you, you've heard it said, but I say. Who is my family? Those that listen and obey. Who is my family? Those that hear the words and obey them that come from Jesus. You have to weigh this up yourself. I don't come in and saying, you know, listen to me. You know, I've got it all right. I'm not saying I have at all. But I want to say to you today, weigh this up. What is God saying to you? You who are part of this community, how do you give yourself? One of the most beautiful things, and I loved what Bronwyn shared, I want to say ngā mihi to you for saying that. It's not about you becoming Māori. You never can be. But I remember when I was leading worship this one time, I was at a conference, and I had a girl, she was doing BVs for me, Cora, Matt Dawson's wife, Cora. And she's doing BVs for me, and during the worship, I sort of busted out this haka, as I've been known to do before. I busted out this haka, and then she comes up to me afterwards, and she says, she's French. You know, when you do that, you make me want to be more French. That's the whole point. Because the gift of Te Ao Māori invites you on a journey, so you actually find out who you are. And we can say, well, my identity is in Christ. Yes, but you were born into something. You were born into a body. You weren't born a Christian. You were born something. And then through the grace of God, he awakened you to actually know who he was so that your spirit became alive. But you weren't born a Christian. You were born into something. And the invitation always has been from Te Ao Māori to invite you into the journey so you can find out who you are. And one of the great joys that I've heard is that people, because, you know, when you go on Te Ao Māori journey, you've got to learn your pepeha. You've got to learn where you come from. And these people, they stumble around. It's like, oh, I don't even know my grandparents' names. So it forces them to find out who they are. And in the place of identity, they find a greater fullness in knowing who Christ is, because Christ suddenly comes in and forms their whole identity, the whole self. Because we're just not a spirit waiting to go to heaven. We've been placed in a body to function and live, to live and move and have our being, which I find quite interesting because, you know, people often quote that. But that is from Epimenides. You know, he's a guy that wasn't even Jewish or Christian. And Paul quotes him. In him we live and move and have our being. This was like this, you know, I guess you could call him heathen. And yet it's in Scripture. In him we live and move and have our being. Paul took that and put it in to the Christian vernacular. Do you like that word? Huh. I'm not even sure what it means, but it sounds awesome. Vernacular, isn't it? Yeah, I've nearly got in trouble there. I'm sure I nearly said something else. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's like we take these things, well, that can't be God, and yet Paul quite happily and easily could take those things from out there and bring them in here and bring life to them, and so that the church then and now can gather up these things and receive the fullness of them. So I invite you into the journey as we stumble along together. But God is in this. I believe that this is the awakening that's going on in Aotearoa at the moment. You want to talk about revival? Revival isn't just about, you know, that it rains down from heaven and, you know, like a guy goes through a village on a horse and everybody falls down and gives their heart to Jesus. That was then, which was amazing. It's not now. Rather than rain coming down, there's fountains beginning to bubble up. Streams in the desert beginning to bubble up. Right throughout Aotearoa. And the bubbling up is happening in Te Ao Māori, in the Māori world. And there's this awakening. And even like, so Te Whenua, the first time I met her, I was at Ihu Matau singing. And she comes up and pushes me off the mic. Actual. It was like, kia ora. That was a great introduction. She was angry because I was singing about, you know, I was actually singing Ko Koe Io. And so she was wrestling, but then through this interaction with the Ka Morgan Anau, she's now come to a place where she's so open. She's so open to Jesus. It's like, this is the daughter of Honi Harawira, and you're saying that this can never happen out there, or it has to happen through our grid, or it has to happen that they have to come to church first. It's like, how do we as a community position ourselves so that we can go out and strengthen them and show them and show Jesus to them without even opening our mouth, that we are showcasing who this Jesus is. Now I'm going to pass on to Aaron.
Oh, ko tēnei taku mihi ki te wāhi nāro tuatahi. Ki te wāhi o te ātua, ki te wāhi o te ngā moimoinga o te ātua, ki te kaihanga o ngā mea katoa, tēnei te mihi. Ki te whare e tūnei, he wāhi o ngā porepiti, ne? Ai, he wāhi o te moimoinga o te ātua. And I'm feeling it this morning. And no America ho. Ke ngā motu e noho ana anai nei. Tēnei taku kāinga hau. And ngā mihi nui ki ngā tangata o tēnei rohi o Taranaki mō ōkoto manaakitanga ki au ki tōku whānau. My name is Erin, originally from America, just recently have moved to Ngā Motu, New Plymouth, and feeling very much at home already. You know, the way that God does home is different than the way that we naturally do home. My husband, Jay, his whānau, he whakapapas. His whakapapa is Te Atiawa, and kia ora, John. This is my father-in-law here this morning. But the Ruka whānau has not lived in Taranaki for a very long time. And it's through listening to Jesus and finding this reorientation, and not an orientation that Jay grew up with, not even an orientation that John grew up with. And yet the dream of God and the purposes of God have its way, if we have ears to hear and eyes to see, has its way of kind of getting in there and redirecting us to home. In fact, Paul down the back has quite a lot to do with Jay and I being here, because I don't know exactly when, but quite a while ago, Paul had, I don't know if it was a dream or a vision or something, and am I right in thinking you were just walking down the beach and Jay was walking towards you? Yeah, and you said, when are you moving to Taranaki? Is that it? Yeah, pretty simple. I'm into simple things. And you held on to that for a while before you told Jay, didn't you? Yeah. And I wasn't there when Paul told that to Jay. Jay was at a Lincoln Z conference. And I was home with my babies. But I'll never forget the moment when Jay comes. I said, how was the conference? And he said, it was good. He said, there was something interesting. Paul came up to me and I don't know, but he shared it, and you know, like, it's not much, like, it's just when you come to Taranaki. But he said, Paul was real. He could tell there was something on it. And as soon as Jay said those words and relayed that, I went, oh, okay, it's just a matter of time. We were in Auckland at the time, and that was a long time ago, wasn't it? That would have been maybe 10 years ago? Longer. That would have been longer than 10 years ago. So we've been here a month. But in these last 10, 15 years of our journey, what Cindy is talking about, this little Pakia girl from America, I can attest to the fact that God is doing something new, and if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. And I've visited this church a few times. I don't know you very well, but I feel connected because this is a place that likes hearing from God. And I met Jesus in a dream when I was 6, and it's just the way that I operate. I just see things and hear things. And so when I come into a place full of people that are okay to get messy and hear and think and whatever, I go, oh, okay, I get these people. I understand. And so we're in the back this morning kind of talking about the service and what we were going to maybe do. And I just sat there quietly listening to these little kind of prophetic pieces all piecing together. And I felt I just had this simple thing that just dropped into my mind that it's time for you guys to curate the prophetic. I could see it happening. You were curating the prophetic. And I went, ah. And then as Cindy was speaking, I thought, yeah, it's time. And I could feel, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm new. New kid on the block, but just what I can send, I'll just leave that with you. But I think there's been, I think you mentioned yesterday feeling like a bit of a toddler, you know, and I laughed. And there's that toddler thing about the prophetic lots of times. And we're okay, it's like it's messy and we're just kids, and that's good, and there's a time and place for that. But there was a feeling that I had this morning of like there's a bit of a growing up and a curating. And that doesn't mean that we'd stop being toddlers off on the corners and that we don't include that into what's happening, but there's a curating. And so I just want to support with my whole being what Cindy has just brought, because I know that it gets a bit like, oh, the prophet's always saying that it's a new season. But honestly, it's a new season. It really is. And so I just want to share a dream that I had with you. Not what I had with you. I want to share a dream with you that I had a couple of years ago. When we were settled and happy in Raglan and ignoring Paul's word about moving to Taranaki and just having a good old time, and I started dreaming about Taranaki, and which wasn't too surprising because I knew we would end up here, and I, you know, we have deep connections here, but just kept popping up, and for the most part, it was just the presence of Taranaki in my dream. It wasn't like anything, but there was one dream that I went, okay, this is an actual dream. And in it, I was with, Cindy was there, and Jay was there, and a lot of other friends and people that I know that have been going on this kind of this Te Ao Māori journey. We were together, and we were in a river, and we were walking through this river, and the reason we were in the river was that our Māori friend, had just given birth to a baby. And we were in the river, and we were all together, a big procession of us, all wade. And if you've ever, I don't do a lot of walking in rivers, but I have. At some point as a kid, I'm sure I know what it feels like when you're walking in a river. It's you know, there's slippery stones and there's the water's rushing around your waist, and it's not the easiest walk. It's cool, but it's not the easiest way to walk. There was that sense of kind of just wading slowly, and we're going somewhere, and it's taking some time because when you walk through water like that, it just takes some time. It's a little bit messy. But my friend who had just given birth to this baby was walking with the baby, and we were going together to name the baby. She was presenting the baby. She was going to name this baby. And but there was a sadness that I felt for her because her partner, who I knew as Pakia, was not there. And I felt sad. I thought he should be here. But we came to the spot for her to name her baby, and she honored her partner. And I thought, wow, they're estranged, and he's not even at the naming of his own child. But yet she continues to honor her partner. And as this is all happening, I'm aware that there's an overpass right near the river. It's like it's a road. It's a high road. It's a smooth road. It's a big highway. It's very convenient. It's very convenient because there's also a procession happening on that road too, and there's a mass amount of people. And there, the sense I had was that we kind of all were on about the same thing. Like, we all kind of generally were going the same direction and wanted the same stuff. It felt like almost like their procession felt a little bit like a protest or something. But we were kind of what we felt. We were like, we believed in the same thing. But they yelled down to us and they said, "Why are you walking in the river when you could be up here on this very smooth, easy path, this overpass?" It was like not a bridge, but it was an overpass. And it was hard to explain. I couldn't explain why I knew that I was supposed to be in this river. But I knew that that's the way that we were supposed to go. And that was my dream. So I've sat on that for a couple of years. When the invitation came for us, when Jay was offered the job here in New Plymouth, it was the biggest decision we've ever made as a family. It was costly in terms of we had finally bought our first home and we're halfway through renovating. We were kind of on a track. We were doing things. But when that invitation came, we said yes without having to pray about it. And we were driving going, oh, this is an awfully big decision to make. And we haven't like fasted or prayed. We just knew. And I was like, why do we know? And then I remembered the dream. Because God had been preparing me for months, and it was like, and not just with that dream, but with all sorts of stuff that we was like, this is the time to come that we had been waiting, and this was the time to come. So this morning, this morning I feel that I'm supposed to gift you that dream. I believe that that dream is for Taranaki. I believe it's for what God is doing in Aotearoa. And I believe that this is a place full of people with ears to hear and eyes to see. And I want to invite you into the river, if you're not already there. I want to invite you into a hard way, a lower way, a more inconvenient way, and a very moddy way. And as a Pakeha, where I stand in this land as a treaty partner, my place in this land, my place of security and identity comes through a treaty that was made, not just between Pakeha and Māori, but between a settler church and European missionaries who carried the gospel to this land and with Māori. Because it's not just about Pakeha and Māori coming together. The authority of the treaty is the gospel. And the fact that the treaty was written by prophetic Christians who saw what God wanted to do in this land. And as a prophetic people, I want to remind you of that and say it is time, even if you don't understand it, it is time to be the partner that shows up for the naming of the baby. It's time to get in the river. Whatever that looks like for you, it's time. And I don't want you to miss out on this because you're a prophetic people. It is happening anyways. It's happening. Like with stories that sings, it's happening. But I don't want you to miss it because you have been holding this space for a while. And it does look different than you might have expected it. But it's your place. I had a really bad night's sleep last night, which is so typical when you know that you're going to come and say something like I just said, because I didn't want to say it, because it's uncomfortable and I don't like saying things like that. But I had a really bad night. I didn't sleep very well. And the whole night it just felt like, God, what is going on? What's going on? And I finally fell asleep really proper sleep at 6 this morning. I mean, I slept off and on, kind of like jet lag sort of sleep. But I really fell into a deep sleep at 6 this morning and finally had a dream. And the dream was me trying to come to grips with where if I was going to be faithful or not to my marriage. But it was really the spirit of something. I was standing between two scenarios, between a faithfully married couple with children and between a couple that was unfaithful within their own marriage to me and to their children. And I was being persuaded in the dream to be an unfaithful partner. And it was a heavy dream. It's not the sort of dream that you want to be dreaming after all night, not sleeping, knowing that you have to go to church and preach. But in the dream, the whole wrestling in the dream, the thing I kept thinking of is, I've got to be faithful. I've got to bring this out into the light. I've got to bring the temptation that I'm feeling into light, because it's going to get found out anyways. And for the sake of my children, I've got to commit myself to faithfulness, and I've got to commit myself to my partner. And it wasn't until I was here this morning and I'm hearing all these things swirling around and we're praying that I went, oh, I'm getting it. I know what I'm feeling. I know what I wrestled with all night long. I'm wrestling with a very real feeling that's within the church right now, within us. Will we be a faithful partner? Will we come into the light and bring into the light our own doubts and our own failings and our own inconsistencies and the lure of the temptation of doing what we always know? And because in the dream it was very attractive. The seduction was very attractive. It made me feel good, but I knew it wasn't going to last. And the dream ended where I knew that that way didn't love me. I knew that way didn't love my children. It was really about the children and the next generation. So, but I want to remind you to curate the prophetic, and even with what I'm saying, curate it. Ask for the discernment. Ask for some discernment on what does this actually mean. But I think there's something very, very, very specific to Taranaki right now that's going on, a very new season in this time. So, nan mihi nui kia koutou.
Woo! Big morning, a lot to think about, a lot to process. You know, I'm a bit of a processor. This is good. I asked them not to do it live, but they have recorded it. If you want to listen to this again, but as you know, that I'm very connected to this house. This house is my home, and so it's a pretty serious message. But I know that with all my heart, I believe that this is the next way forward, and you've stepped into it. And you're doing it. And so, kia kaha, kia maya, kia mana wanui. We're going to finish with an oldie but a goodie. and if you want to respond, you know, if you want to say, yes, I want to make a commitment to going on, even though I don't fully understand. I want to, even though I do feel afraid, I want to take off this old comfortable coat and that sense of being vulnerable and perhaps even, you know, like naked. I'm willing to do that to move into the new, that I may be clothed anew and afresh, that I'm willing to do that. And so you might want to respond in some way if you feel that you want to, you know, like there'll be people to pray for you. There's some good prayers here that would be open that... But we're going to finish with this song. It was actually written, I was talking about the Carl Morgan, I know. This is actually written by Luke Carl Morgan. Dear friend, he's coming to visit me on Wednesday. We're going to have fun. Woohoo! And listen to the sound of the people coming back. Praises in their hearts instead of heaviness. Listen to the warriors are full of hope. Courage and humility, for they choose to walk in the light. Listen to the sound of the people coming back. The deliverer has come with compassion. Look and see the women in their dignity, strength and purity, for they choose to walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light, walk in the light, walk in the light. So as we come to the end of the service, I If you want to go, and I guess the cup of tea or something, maybe through the next thing there, through the kai doors. But if you want to stay, if you want to sing, if you want to come to the front, you want the Lord to minister to you, if you don't want anyone to pray for you, just come. If you want people to pray for you, come. Listen to the sound of the people coming back, praises in their hearts instead of heaviness. Listen to the warriors who are filled with hope, courage and humility, for they choose to walk in the light. Listen to the sound of the people coming back. The deliverer has come with compassion. Look and see the woman in their dignity, strength and purity, for they choose to walk in the light. Where God is, where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Listen to the sound of the people coming back. Praises in their hearts instead of heaviness. Look and see the warriors are filled with hope, courage and humility, for they choose to walk in the light. Listen to the sound of the people coming back. The deliverers come with compassion. Look and see the woman and their dignity, strength and purity, for they choose to walk in the light. Hey, where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. One more time, listen to the sound. Listen to the sound of the people coming back. Praises in their hearts instead of heaviness. Listen to the warriors are full of hope, courage and humility, for they choose to walk in the light. Listen to the sound. Listen to the sound of the people coming back. The deliverers come with compassion. Look and see the woman in their dignity, strength and purity, for they choose to walk in the light. Hey! Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Where God is, walk in the light. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. Lord, we receive your word that's come from you. Everything else would fall to the ground. But God, that which has come from your heart, that has come from heaven down to earth, we receive today. And God, we say with all our hearts that we would walk in the light into this new journey, into this new understanding of what you're wanting to do. Lord, we give ourselves into this new season. Give us the courage, the humility, the strength, the dignity to walk into it so that we may give all those things away to those that are coming. We bless you today, Father. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your blood that made a way for us to access the Father and the love of the Father. We thank you for Wairua Tapu, who is with us constantly, guiding, showing us, loving us, connecting us. We're so grateful for you. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for you. So we will pass on to you.